Now we move on into the 15th chapter of Judges, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. So after a while, it doesn't say exactly how long here, but no doubt it wasn't very long, Samson decided to go back and to be reconciled to his wife. Now he was the one that had been injured. He's the one that had been wronged. And so he left in this state of anger and hurt. And it was really his wife's place to make the move for peace, to make the move for reconciliation. But Samson did this himself, which shows that he went beyond that that was really required of him. He went back and took a gift, a kid, which wasn't a very expensive gift, but it was the thought and the meaning behind it that was really what was important here. So he was going to make reconciliation to her, and he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber. That is, he wanted to have a meal with her and have this kid as something that they could take of in common and have a reconciliation. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou had utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. So the father forbade Samson to go into her, and the reason was because he had already married her to one of the companions of Samson, one of the persons that Samson had formerly looked upon as a friend after sorts, now had his wife. And the father tries to justify what he's done. He said, I verily thought that thou had utterly hated her. He implied that he thought that Samson had no more use for her as a wife, that he was never going to come back, and so he gave her to marry someone else. And really, there was no justification for this because he did not know how Samson truly felt. He didn't go contact him, ask him. There was no effort made for reconciliation. And this was all done apparently without Samson's knowledge even. And so the father did not have any justification for doing this. But as we said earlier, we'll say again that Samson is here dealing with Philistines. He's dealing with those that are not members of the household of God. They're not Israelites. And so their ways, their morals, and their principles are going to be different. And so it is with the church even today. When we're dealing with people who are members of the world, who are not members of the family of God, then we're going to be dealing with people who have a different set of principles from us, and we have to constantly be aware of this. We cannot make an agreement or some kind of a binding contract if there's any way that they can possibly defraud us, because chances are they will do it, because their morality, their philosophy of life allows them to do these things. They can lie, they can steal, they can cheat, and they can go back on their word, which a Christian can't do. And this is one of the very great reasons why a marriage of a Christian to a non-Christian can be such a catastrophic thing, because the non-Christian does not have to live up to his marriage vows. He does not have to remain faithful. And consequently, he's really living under a different standard, a different set of rules from what the Christian is. So it becomes an unequal yoke. And we're told in the New Testament to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because there's no way that you can have an equal yoke when the two parties have different standards by which they are living and applying these rules. And so it was in the case of Samson. When Samson left for a short while, his father-in-law married his wife to another man. And when Samson came back, she had been married to someone else, and the father-in-law wouldn't let him go into her. And so he further says, is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So now the father-in-law offers the younger sister. And you can see then what a real mixed-up set of values these Philistines had. One week he marries his daughter to a man, the next week or so he marries her to somebody else, and then here he is offering his younger sister to the first man. This is the morality of the world. And we find ourselves today, as we observe the ways of the world, this is about the way the world lives. They don't have any more concept of the holiness of the marriage tie, of the involvement of God in home and family, and so they look upon it in a very light and frivolous manner, and consequently we have then society in a very chaotic state today as a result of this. What we see here where Samson is going to take an occasion now to do some more damage to the Philistines as a result of this. And this is probably one of the reasons why God allowed this marriage to this Philistine woman, so that it would be an occasion for Samson to fight with and to destroy some of the Philistines. So verse 3 says, "And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. I've come down here to make amends. I've come down here to straighten things out with my wife. And they have utterly defrauded me. I'm the one that's the injured party. And so although I'm going to do them a displeasure, I'm going to do something that they're not going to like at all, I still will be more blameless than the Philistines, because they've done the greater evil to me." Verse 4. "And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails." So what Samson did was he took the 300 foxes and tied the tails of each pair of the foxes together so that he had 150 pairs, and then he put a stick of fire on the tails of these foxes. And you can see then when he loosed these in the fields of the corn that it would wreak all kinds of havoc. There'd be fire spreading every place, and it'd be impossible to locate the source of the fire and put it out, because you got 150 different sources of fire going through the fields. Verse 5, "And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives." So they were in the midst of the harvest. Part of the corn was still standing. Part of it was in shocks. This burnt both the shocks and the standing corn, as well as the long time plants of the vineyards and the olives. So he not only destroyed the short-term crop, the corn, but he destroyed those crops that it took a long time to replace, the plants of the vineyards and the olives. So this was doing a lot of destruction to the Philistines. And certainly if he had the power and the ability to destroy their lives, he had the power and ability to destroy their livelihood, which he's doing here. So he's hitting at the very heart of these Philistines now as he destroys their corn and vineyards and olives. Verse 6, "Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and had given her to his companion." So the Philistines realized the cause of this. It was Samson who did it. And they realized why Samson did it. It was because Samson had been wronged because of the action of his father-in-law. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. So rather than do anything to Samson, which they didn't have the ability to do, they did what considered to them to be the next best thing. They removed the source of Samson's displeasure, that is, the wife and the father-in-law. They burnt him with fire. Now remember, just very shortly back, when they were trying to discover the riddle that Samson had given them, they threatened this woman, said, "You find out by some means what the answer to the riddle is, and tell us the answer, or we're going to burn you and your father with fire." And so, due to her fear of this thing, she turned against Samson. She lied and defrauded Samson by finding out the answer and then giving the answer to his companions so that they could win the wager. And now we find that still that very same thing happens to her. So when we do something that's wrong in order to avoid some kind of harm or some kind of punishment, sometimes the wrongdoing that we do just pulls the very thing we're trying to avoid in on top of us. She had the punishment anyway. She was burned with fire as well as her father, even though they went about a wrong method to try to avoid this. So you can see how God uses one party to bring about harm to another party when both are evil. And in all of this, the destruction of the Philistines, the will of God in that matter is being carried out. Verse 7, "And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you. After that I will cease." So Samson said, I'm gonna still yet be avenged of you. I've got something yet more to do to be avenged of you, and then I will cease. Verse 8, and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. So Samson apparently killed many of these Philistines. Now, there are several ways this can be translated. He smote them hip and thigh. Some seem to think that this means that he only wounded them in the hip and thigh so that they were not able to carry on gainful activity anymore, but would be a cripple. Others think that he used his hip and thigh and the kicking of them to bring about injury and damage. And so it's translated that there was a great slaughter here, that he put many of them to death. But regardless, we don't know exactly what did happen, except that the implication is that he either killed or maimed and wounded a large number of people when he talked about a great slaughter. And so he was avenged of them for having put his wife and father-in-law to death. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etham. It's not clearly known exactly where this place of Etham was, but it's thought to be in the hill country of Judea, probably about 20 miles north of Hebron, somewhere in that vicinity. So Samson retired here to this place to see what the effects of his action would have. He'd had a lot of activity now with these Philistines. He had slain many of them. He had wounded and maimed many of them, apparently. He had destroyed their crops, their corn, their olive, and their vineyards. And although a lot of this was a result of Samson having married the Philistine woman, we can now see where Samson is in a full-fledged battle with the Philistines. And they are not going to take what he's done lightly. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.